Matthew chapter 20. It's a very unusual parable. It's actually only found in Matthew. It's not in Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew chapter 20. And I guess I can summarize the parable if I can have fun with you for a little bit. Let's say, I was trying to think of a very physical, hard job. And I've come up with moving furniture. Okay? Moving. My wife and I eventually, our furniture is still down south because our house hasn't sold. So one day we'll be, you know, moving our furniture from down south to our house in Mars here. And imagine, like, we had a grand piano, which we don't. But we have other furniture. Bill helped me out. He knows how heavy. We have really heavy pieces. So let's say I'm going to hire you. It's going to be a 12-hour, back-breaking, brutal job. How much do you want to work the 12 hours? Give me a price. Sue? $50 an hour. Okay, so $600. Are you all agreed that you will work for $600? Not an hour. What am I talking about? $600 for the day, 12 hours, right? Are you all okay? Right, they're on for $600 for the day. So we work for 11 hours. We're working hard. They're breaking their backs and hauling furniture. And finally, after 11 hours of them working, I see there's a group over here. Chris, there's only 1 hour left. But if you would, Margie, if Pat, if you would help, I'll pay you something, you know, I'll pay you something. If you could help just the last hour, okay? You agreed? All right, they're okay. They're going to help. So now we finish moving, and I give each of them $600 for that 1 hour. Now I come over here, and what are you thinking, Sue? You worked all day. You're going to get more, right? I'm only paying you $600 because that's what you agreed on when you started. Sue, I know you're grumbling, and Pat, and I know you're, but why should you grumble? Didn't you agree to do it for, I let you set the price even. Didn't you agree to do it for $600? You shouldn't be upset just because I want to be generous with my money with Chris and Margie over here and give them the same amount. All right, everyone with? All right. So now let's read Matthew 20. Of course, Sue, how do you really feel? You know, if your boss did that in real life, I wonder, yeah, we would be all running to the union, right? Matthew chapter 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. The landowner is God, God the Father. He's the landowner. He owns the earth. Who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. Just so you know, in the parable, the hiring men means people coming to Jesus, coming to the Lord, and starting to serve the Lord in the vineyard of reaching other souls. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day. That's at $600 for the day, and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again at the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, so this is after 11 hours of working, for the final hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard, that's God the Father, said to his foreman, that's probably Jesus, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received $600. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received $600. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said. And you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, Friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for $600? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Very interesting parable. And some interesting truth. So truth number one is that God is looking for workers. God is looking for people to give their heart to him and begin to serve in his vineyard in reaching people for Jesus. The whole Bible, by the way, is a story of how we hide from God and God comes looking for us. Men and women, because of sin, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they hid from God. And God had to go search for them. So the whole Bible is about how we all hide from God. We can hide in other religions, false religions. We can hide at the bar. We can hide in our homes. We can hide in our morality, whatever. But God sent Jesus to seek and to save the lost. So God is constantly, all day long, looking for people who want to join in the work of his kingdom. Notice that people are hired at 5 different times through the day. And those represent people that are saved at different times in their life. Now, here's an interesting thing for you. According to the World Bank, life expectancy for an average human being is currently numbered at 78.4 years. If 78.4 years represents our average lifespan, we can assume our clock will hit 24 hours when we reach that age. We have 24 hours of time to live, and it will take us 78.4 years to live that 24 hours. Therefore, each hour will be represented by 3.267 years of life lived. When your 24-hour clock reaches 3 a.m., you will have lived almost 10 years of life. When you reach the age of 20 years old, your 24-hour clock reads 6:24 in the morning. At 30 years of age, it's just after 9 o'clock a.m. in the morning. At 40 years of age, it's past noon for you. So if you're 40 years old, half the time is gone, right? 12 hours is gone. You only have 12 hours of life left. A person 50 years old is looking at the clock and it shows a time of 3:18 p.m. That person is approaching dinner time in their life. They have less than 9 hours remaining in life on their 24-hour clock. Now, here I am. I got 2 more years before I hit this. A person 60 years old is looking at the clock, and it shows a time of 6:22 p.m. in the evening. That person has less than 6 hours remaining on their 24-hour life clock. Now, at first when I saw this, I was a little bit sad. Only got 6 hours left, roughly. But then I got, the Lord said something. What does everyone do from midnight to like 7 in the morning? You sleep. Okay, that's time wasted. Okay, and then what do you do from 7, 8 o'clock to about 4 or 5 o'clock? Work hard, you miserable job, you don't like it. When does the party begin? What time? When you get home from work, 6 o'clock, and it goes till when? Yeah, it goes to midnight or longer. Some of us would go to 1 or 2 o'clock because you party late. So I'm like, the Lord's like, Joe, you're just getting into the party time. So I know for you younger people, you may not understand this because you're wrapped up, but it's like, hey, look, I've only got 6 hours left. I'm going to enjoy all 6 of those hours. I'm going to live and party it up to the very end. All right. So people come to the Lord at different times. Some people come to the Lord when they're kids. Those are like the people that are hired first. They're serving the Lord their whole lifetime. So how many of you came to know Jesus as a kid? Why don't you raise your hand? All right, wow. So about half of you got hired right off the bat. Smart. All right, how many of you came to the Lord when you were a teenager, a little bit later? Okay, and I came to the Lord when I was 18, coming out 19. Okay, so How many of you came to the Lord from 20 to 50? Raise your hand. A decent amount. All right, how many of you came to the Lord in the 11th hour? 50 onward. We need to work on that. There's less and less workers as time goes on. Okay. So we all come to the Lord at different times. Timothy probably came to the Lord as a young child. Godly mother, godly grandmother. The apostles were, John, we believe, was the age of 16. And the apostle Peter was the oldest, and we believe he was 30. All the apostles became apostles from 16 to 30 to serve the Lord. And then there are some people who come to the Lord at the 11th hour, like the thief on the cross. You know, he came to the Lord when he only had a little bit of time left. So I have to show you a story. I was, this happened about 15, 20 years ago. And I'm going to change the name. I'm going to call this person Mrs. Pearl, but Mrs. Pearl has nothing to do with her real name. So Mrs. Pearl was in her 40s, and her kids, Mrs. Pearl had been married a few times, and her kids from her first marriage came to my church, and Mrs. Pearl was dying of cancer. And so the kids knew she didn't know the Lord, and so they asked me to go visit their mom and share Jesus, which is like, oh, I never had met her, and very awkward. So I go to the hospital, and you can imagine how awkward it is. I mean, she's dying of cancer. I don't know her. I'm not her pastor. And you know, I've got to talk to her. Mrs. Pearl was living in unbelievable fear. I'm amazed. Like, she knew she wasn't ready to die. And yet she knew she only had a few days or weeks left to live. And she was just holding on to life because in her fear, she knew she wasn't ready. And I have seen that many times when people don't know, don't have that assurance of going to heaven, they hang on to life. So we talked and, you know, got comfortable enough that I got to share the gospel with her, and she gave her heart to the Lord. And I'm telling you, the peace that passes all understanding came over her. She knew she was saved. She's like, I am ready to go to heaven. As I was leaving, her kids came in, and I heard her telling the kids. The next day, the kids told me this, her minister came in. And her minister came in and read some prayers out of a book. And then he said, Mrs. Pearl, what would you like at your funeral? And Mrs. Pearl goes, oh, I'm sorry, but you won't be doing my funeral. Because in all the years that I went to your church, you actually never told me how to get saved and how to give my heart to Jesus. A pastor to me that came in the day before, he is the one that will be doing my funeral. And she died the next day. Now, I want you to keep that in mind because I'm going to come back to that. But she came to the Lord at the 11th hour. And she only had a couple of days to witness the doctors, nurses, stuff. Note, there are many people who are idle. So the Lord goes out at different hours, and he notices that there are still people that are not serving, working in his vineyard. In 1 Peter, it talks about that we are all redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to us by our forefathers, by the blood of Jesus. When you don't know Jesus, you are living an empty life. It's kind of like meaningless, because until you know God and God plugs you in to what he's really calling you to do, you're kind of spinning wheels in life, and you're idle, and you're... One of the commentaries is talking about, hopefully Christians aren't idle, that you've been called by God to work in his vineyard. Hopefully you're not idle and lazy. This husband was a lazy husband, and he laid on the couch all day long. His wife comes in and she says, oh, I'm just so embarrassed. I'm so ashamed. of what's going on. And the husband goes, why are you so embarrassed? I'm just so ashamed. My father has to pay our rent every month. And my mother has to buy our food for our kids. And my aunt has to give clothes to clothe our children. And my sisters have to pay the utilities. I'm just so embarrassed. I'm so ashamed. And the husband went, I am too. Those two no good brothers of yours haven't even given us a cent yet. But hopefully we're not lazy. Next week, who's coming? A missionary. So I don't know if you know this or not, but when you give your heart to Jesus, all of us, there's only two occupations. You're either a pastor or a missionary. You're either a pastor or a missionary. I'm a pastor like Jeff and Gary, and we're all pastors, right? And we minister in the church. But you know what missionaries are? Like Jonathan, he goes overseas, he works a secular, and by their example, they get to, so they're working with people that normally wouldn't deal with Christians at all, and they're seeing a difference in their life. And they're seeing their marriage and how they raise their four kids, and they're sharing Jesus. And people are like, what's the hope that you have, and what's the difference? And they're getting to share Jesus and leading people to the Lord. You see, they're missionaries. God needs 100 missionaries for every one pastor. But what Jonathan is doing, that's what all of us should be doing if you're a missionary. If you're a school teacher, you should be the best school teacher that there is, an amazing school teacher that not only do the kids want to know what's different about you than all the other teachers, this joy you have, the love that you have for your students, the other teachers are like, what is it? What makes you such a wonderful teacher? Maybe you're an engineer, and the fellow engineers, why do you put in such good work? Why are you so gifted? Why are you so positive about your marriage and life and goodness? And you get to share, well, it's Jesus. God needs, you're either all a missionary, or you're a pastor, or you're idle and lazy. God needs all of us to be missionaries, to work in his vineyard. It's just that we're disguised. You're all missionaries in the neighborhoods you live, the clubs you join, the place you work, the friends you have. You are all missionaries. So we get the same paycheck. Oh, by the way, at the end, everyone gets the same paycheck. If God really paid us for our life, what would we get? What is the wages of, yeah, you probably can't read that, but the wages of sin is death. But fortunately, the pay, I will claim to you, if you look back in Matthew 19, that the pay, the denarius, the $600, the pay is eternal life. So, the disciples come to him. You understand there wasn't chapter 20 in the original. Chapter 20 just follows the conversation Jesus is having with his apostles. And they're kind of complaining a little bit about how hard they've worked. Verse 27, Peter answered him, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much." By the way, in the parallel passage in Mark and Luke, it's 100 times as much in this present age, and will inherit, when you pass away, what do you inherit? Eternal life. And then he goes into verse 30, "But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." And then chapter 20 wasn't there. He then goes into this discussion that's actually aimed at the believers. It's actually aimed at the apostles, what Jesus means by the last will be first and the first will be last. But what we get, the pay, it's not a pay, it's a gift, okay, is we all get eternal life. When we stand before Jesus, if you know Jesus, here's what you get. Eternal life. And how good is that? No more sin. Get to heaven, no more sin. No more lying, no more cheating, no more stealing, no more using the Lord's name in vain, no more adultery, no more drugs, no more bullying, whatever. There is no more sin. It'll be really nice. Heaven will know no pain because we never get sick again. There will be no hospitals, no doctors, no pharmacies, no MedExpresses, no Obamacare, no UPMC, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, no drugstores, no dentist, okay? You'll have perfect teeth. No braces, no hearing aids, no eyeglasses, no plastic surgery. You will actually love yourself. I'm going to get myself into trouble. And just think of all the money we spend on health care. So that's all part of having eternal life. There'll be no more war. Won't that be nice? I get scared. I'm looking at the earth. I see Iran and nuclear. I see North Korea threatening with nuclear bombs. China is building islands in the ocean that are military bases. I'm like, what? But when we get to heaven, no more war. Wars are very expensive. Now I understand why there's no taxes in heaven. Just not paying for medical and war, tax-free in heaven. There'll be no more famine. When we get to heaven, there'll be good friends, good food, good times. There's food. There's 12 crops of fruit on the trees of life. Good friends, we're going to have good times together. You know what I think, church, is? It's a practice. We're a test tube. We're a beaker. We should be practicing what it's going to be in heaven, don't you think? I think the Lord's like, hey, get used to, I want you to get used to liking each other. I want you to get used to having good food and good times, because you're going to have to do it for eternity, for you grumblers out there. Mansion. So that's, oh, yes. But then there are the grumblers. Those are the ones, and kind of the apostles were kind of grumbling, like, hey, we gave up everything. What do we get? And that's why Jesus goes into this parable. You've worked really hard, apostles. But guess what? The ones at the 11th hour get the same thing you're going to get, which is eternal life. So back to Mrs. Pearl. When I was at the bedside of Mrs. Pearl and I led her to the Lord, I know I'm confessing my thoughts, but I was thinking to myself, poor Mrs. Pearl, she's getting to heaven, but she's not going to have many rewards because she only could serve the Lord 2 days. But I've been a pastor for 20 years. And I've been bearing the burden of the day, working with churches and church people. There's nothing tougher than that. And it's hard. Lord, I can't imagine the rewards I'm going to get. I'm glad Mrs. Pearl just made it in by, you know, her teeth or whatever, however they say that. The skin of her teeth. Which I don't even know how that makes sense. Teeth don't have skin. But anyway, all my sacrifice for you, Jesus, all my dedication, what am I going to get? So here's what's going to happen. We all get up to heaven, and Jesus says, okay, or the Father says, okay, Jesus, you know, let's hand out the inheritance, and let's start with the last first, and the first will be last. All right, Mrs. Pearl, come forth. And Jesus goes, Mrs. Pearl, here you go, eternal life. And I'm like, okay, you know, it comes to me. I'm going to get something. What am I getting? Eternal life. Everyone with me? We all get eternal life. So, a couple things I want to say. I was talking to the Lord about this week. And for those of us that got saved earlier in life, that are grumbling about carrying the weight of the church work, I was thinking, you know what? God has been so good to me. Can you imagine working for anyone else? Jesus said, if you yoke up with me in partnership, that it will be easy and light. I can't imagine. Like, I cannot really complain to God when I stand up before him and go, oh, life was so tough, Lord, on the earth. It's actually been fabulous serving the Lord. That's really the truth, isn't it? I mean, would any of you give up like, oh, man, serving Jesus has been just too hard. I wish I had served the devil and then just gave my heart to Jesus right before I died. No, that would have been miserable. Serving God has been amazing and fabulous working with him. And what a privilege. It's all about God's generosity. He's so wealthy that he can give everyone the same pay, which is eternal life. You can't get better than that. We're going to live forever. We're going to be best friends forever. It's just so I'm going to close with Bob and Ellen Thomas. They're alive. This is a true story. This doesn't happen very often. But I thought, wow, this illustrates this truth here. Bob and Ellen Thomas are in the Detroit area. And 40 years ago, they started a paving company that they invested $3,500 of their money into it. And the paving business grew and was successful. And they sold their paving business to a larger paving business 10 years ago for $400 million. Pure, all profit. $400 million. Bob and Ellen decided when they realized what a windfall of money they were going to get, they talked it over. And it's amazing some of the things they've given, which I don't have time to go into. They decided they would still live in their small home that they always lived in, and that they wouldn't go crazy and buy big mansions and fancy cars. And they decided to bless all the people who worked for them. And so, now you must understand, did they owe their workers any money? They actually paid them well all the years that they worked for them, okay? They didn't owe them anything. They had already been gracious in their salaries. But they decided to share that $400 million, and overnight, 77 of their employees became millionaires. Now, why couldn't I work for Bob Thomas? Just, they're rare, okay? That's God. He just did it out of his generosity. He just, I got so much, I'm just going to share it. And it doesn't matter. You know, I'm just, and that's Jesus. He is just so amazingly generous. By his death on the cross for us, he paid the price that we deserve. And we get this amazing gift of eternal life. Let's look to the Lord. Let's bow our heads. And maybe you're here this morning and God is asking maybe some heart here this morning. Would you like to partnership up with God and give your heart to Jesus and begin to serve him? He is a fabulous boss to work for. He's amazing. And the pay, and it's not really a pay, the gift of when you give your heart to Jesus, the gift you're going to get, and actually you will get it even today when you give your heart to Jesus, the gift you're going to get is eternal life. So if you've never personally given your heart to Jesus, I'm going to pray a prayer out loud, and I invite you to pray along with me silently. And this morning, you can start to serve the living God. I'll pray out loud, you pray silently. Lord Jesus, please, I want you to be my Savior and my Lord. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. And in repentance of living an empty life without you, God, in the center, I want to serve you this day forward. Thank you for giving me eternal life. I can't ask for anything better than that. Thank you for saving my soul. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I want to just pray a brief prayer blessing over those of you who pray that along with me. No one's looking. Every head is bowed. Every eye closed. Christians praying. If you prayed that prayer with me, I want you to just slip your hand up, and then after I see it, put it down, and then I'm going to pray a blessing for you. God bless you. See you up front, my brother. God bless you, sister. Anyone else? I don't want to miss anyone. I see you, little one, up front. And I see you, sister, here. Father, I pray for these three that have raised their hand. May they sense your presence in their heart from this day forward. May they realize that the Bible actually says, because they've got Jesus in their heart, they have eternal life from this day forward. We thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. May you fill my two sisters and my brother with your Holy Spirit. May you bless their life as they serve you this day forward. Bless the time of communion. In Jesus' name, amen.